much for joining us right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And this is your host, Ellen Kamise, The Natural Nurse. You can always find us at naturalnurse.com or Facebook, The Natural Nurse. And we have all kinds of events going on where you can join myself and co-host Dr. Eugene Zamperone in person to learn about what plants that are growing right outside your door you can use for food and medicine, which is a really exciting thing to know. Of course, it could be a fun thing to know, and it can also be a life-saving thing to know, depending on the circumstances. Either way, it's a good idea to increase your knowledge about the free, healthy, and medicinal plants that are growing right around you, wherever you live. And we give classes on that all over the country. You can check the schedule at naturalnurse.com. We also do a 3-college credit course through Stony Brook University, where you can actually join us living with shamanic indigenous healers in various areas around the world and get 3 college credits while you're doing that. That's a trip that we have under Echo Tours for Cures. And we also have local New York Echo Tours for Cures, where we spend the day in Chinatown and learn about tongue and pulse diagnosis, Chinese herbal medicine. We do Qigong in the park. It's a wonderful way to actually get involved with another culture and not have to take an airplane if you are a New York native. So that's just some of the many, many things we have available. We'll also be doing a lunch and learn locally on Long Island, and that's going to be about GMOs. Many people here on Progressive Radio Network are always talking to you about GMOs and genetically modified organisms. I have actually been involved with them, believe it or not, since 1969, when a lot of the original research was beginning, and I was against it then. A lot of good it did, but I have certainly been working against it that long. And it's really quite a diabolical process that is being pushed not only on the American people, but around the world. However, what we can do about it is take steps for our own health and well-being. And that's what we're going to talk about with today's guest, Shay Vaughn. Shay discusses the living principles of well-being, commitment, perseverance, self-control, integrity, and love. Shay is America's queen of wellness, and she's also known as Chicago's favorite mom. She's a corporate trainer in health, wellness, and fitness, an author, speaker, master instructor, and trainer, life coach, and a recognized spokeswoman for creating individual and business well-being. Shay focuses on body resistance exercises along with healthy eating and thinking as a path to optimal wellness. Shay is also the founder of Healthy Initiatives, which is a charity that champions disease prevention through awareness, education, and sustainable solutions for building healthy and joyful lives. She hosts Shaynetics certifications. She speaks internationally and is frequently a featured wellness and fitness expert in media and on TV programs, including Ellen, The Marilyn Dennis Show, Windy City Live, Fox Chicago, and the Best Ever You Network. And you can always find her at healthyinitiatives.org or shaynetics.com. So thank you so much for joining us today, Shay.
Oh, I'm so excited. Thank you so much for asking me to be on and to have an opportunity to share with you and the listeners my passion for really finding true well-being.
Now, let's go back in time. Let's ask you about how you were raised, you know, with your parents or just one parent, you know, whatever the case may be. Were they very into things like organic food and fitness and wellness?
No. I think that I was raised traditionally. My father was full Italian, my mother Irish. And
so lots of pasta and potatoes.
Lots of pasta and right, you know, like roast beef and, you know, all those things. But really, as a child, it's really funny. I was a really picky eater. And so I automatically just, you know, I think that peanut butter and jelly and chocolate pudding were my two favorite things.
Okay, so, you know, those are comfort foods.
Yeah, and so we didn't really know a lot about nutrition like we do today. But I was always very active and always, you know, I was as at a young age, I was dancing. So I started taking dancing lessons when I was 7 years old. And I think that just, the one thing that I can tell you that dancing does, especially ballet and some of the other arts, it really gives you such discipline because you can't be on a team. You can't perform if you don't show up and you don't learn, you know, the routine or you, you know, aren't ready to really get out in front of somebody and make it your best and help everybody to look good. So that's a great, it's a, you know, I think that sports for, you know, for boys and girls, dancing for both are just, you know, they're more than just team, you know, building. They're really disciplined.
So much of what you said is really important because, for instance, looking at your picture on your beautiful book, Chavon's Breakthrough, The Five Living Principles to Defeat Stress, Look Great, and Find Total Well-Being, you don't look old enough to be a grandmother, and yet you list your grandchildren in, you know, your credits.
Yeah. Well, I have five grandchildren. I have three children, Victoria, Valerie, and Vincent. And Victoria has two children, a boy and a girl, Dexter and Stella. And then Valerie has two girls, Veronica and Viviana. And Vince has a little girl, Lachlan, and a new baby that is going to be coming. We don't know what it's going to be, but that baby's due in August. So that will give me six.
Family's growing. Now,
it is.
It's interesting, too, because therefore, since now we know you're not in your 20s, because you couldn't have done all that by then, the fact that you are of an older generation actually means that there were no GMO foods, and there were very little chemical foods. So even if your parents were cooking traditional, let's say, potatoes and pasta, the thing is, they had to still use real food because that's all that was around them.
Exactly.
Which is helpful.
It's really sad when you really think about how we have changed our diet through GMOs and by having all of our food modified. And the truth of the matter is that the general population really doesn't understand the poison that they're putting into the body. They really don't understand that purposely these products would be put out on the market knowingly that they are not good for us. But the truth of the matter is that we have to, you know, find a way to do, in many cases, either research through listening to programs like yours or reading books like mine or other people that write books on you know, detoxing or wellness, to be able to get, and there's so much information on the internet. I mean, all somebody really has to do is just take a little bit of time. But, you know, I kind of feel like sometimes they don't want to hear the answers to it because that would mean we'd have to take, you know, some kind of responsibility and do something. I liken it many times to a story that I share about a good friend who was doing some research on the microwave oven, for instance, and realized...
Oh, please, do share that.
Yeah, and so at such a high heat, what you're really talking about is that it really is taking every bit of nutritional value and nutrients out of the food before you ever put it in. And it also, depending upon how long it's cooked and other means of using it, that it actually can put toxins into your body. And so it's kind of like reading all of this and, you know, thinking about it, go, oh, my goodness, but, you know, I think that's terrible, but, it's so convenient for me. And we always get back to that convenient stage. And, you know, I warm up the baby's food, the leftovers. I need it for this. I need it for that. And we turn the page. So I call this about life turning the page. See, that book club the next day, and she happened to meet one of her friends, and her friend says to her, "Wow, did you see that article that was written on the microwave oven?" And she said, "Yeah." And she says, "Well, after I read it, I took my microwave and I threw it out because I didn't even want to give it to anybody. And I got a toaster oven that I can do almost everything that I can with that. Might take me just a couple minutes longer, but not much." And she said, "I just feel so much healthier."
Yeah, so there's a lot of alternatives. Convection ovens, there's a lot of alternatives. That's so true.
There is, and we just don't like change in our life, and we just don't want to accept the opportunities to make those changes and make a difference, not only within our own lives, but really in the lives of everybody that we really care about and that we love.
That's true. Now, so you told us that you had basically a traditional upbringing, but of course you did have a lot of support in terms of a loving family, which is a big first step of probably more important than food and exercise even. And
well, I certainly had that from my mother's side,
not from my
father's side. My father, long story, but my mother was really the rock in the family. She worked all of her life. My mother and father were divorced. I was born in Canada. My mother had moved to Canada when she was a young girl, and she actually met my father when she was 13 years old. And at 17, they were married. And she continued to work because they needed to. And my father was really someone that came from he was the youngest of six children, and he came from a very poor family, but a great family that really was caring and loving. But I think that because he was the youngest, he basically just, the only thing he had to wear was, hand-me-downs. And I think that he's that, Scarlett O'Hara that stands up on the mountain and kind of says, "I'll never go hungry again." And I think that he was, that man that just said, I'm never going to be poor again, because he was so embarrassed and ashamed because he really, didn't have the clothes, that he felt comfortable in. And
so when did you have a revelation about, being super healthy, which you actually talk about so much in your five living principles? Like, what happened in your life that led you in that direction?
I think that what led me in that direction was because I was very conscious about dancing and working out and nutrition and all of those things, and have many certifications, and started really doing research on all of it, and said, wow, things have changed since I was a young girl, just like we're talking about. Now there's all this food that's not healthy. What options do I have? And, I actually, raised my kids in an era where doctors were telling women that, giving them a bottle was probably healthier than actually, breastfeeding. And so you kind of listen to, the doctors. I mean, my goodness, they don't make mistakes. And then you just get old and you start to read all of this stuff, and it's overwhelming to you. And so then I decided not to only dedicate my life to helping others make better choices and better decisions, but really setting that example and knowing as much about it as I possibly can, so that I can be a good mentor and a good role model for those that are really looking to find that well-being in their life. You know, what people don't realize is that they're very much confused about what the word wellness means and what well-being means. So if you can actually just think of this huge circle that has everything in it, your finances, what your take-in is as far as nutrition is concerned, whether or not you exercise, the mental and the emotional strength that's necessary to break through barriers that help us to live the lives that we want. But every single thing is in this circle. And the good things and the better choices that we pick out of this circle is what actually brings us to what's called a state of well-being.
And
the things that we don't pick out of there, that we're not making good choices, that, hurts our well-being state. So that's not going to make us healthy.
Well, in your book, Breakthrough, the five living principles to defeat stress, look great, and find total well-being. I find that it's a wonderful book because it's easy to read, and it's a combination of easy to understand and very clear guidelines, and it's a workbook that you actually have places that people shouldn't be afraid to just write in the book.
Right, the things down that they really need to work on, and putting a plan together to how do I go about it. But in the book, I think the most important thing is that you're given the tools to be able to do that, because it's like you can't go play tennis if you don't have a tennis racket, and you certainly don't want to go play golf if you don't have clubs. And here we are, we're not playing at life, this is real, and yet we really don't have the tools that help us to break through those barriers. And I talk about those tools, which are commitment, perseverance, self-control, integrity, and love. And many people ask me, how did I come up with that? Well, just through my teachings, through the exercise components, which is Shane Eddicks. And Shane Eddicks is a wellness and a fitness exercise doctor-endorsed practice. And it combines yoga, Pilates, Tai Chi, martial arts, gyrokinesis, dance, and so much more. But it really brings together our Eastern philosophies combined with what I call our hectic Western lifestyle, because we're always multitasking and trying to do more things at one time than what we should, because it's not healthy. It causes a lot of stress in our life. So some balance in it is kind of like taking breaks from those kinds of things and bringing something else in that's going to really help us as far as our mental and our emotional strength is concerned. And so at the heart of Shane Eddicks, the program, is really the five living principles. And many times if there's anyone out there that takes yoga, we all know that when you take a yoga class, you're asked to really concentrate on your breath. And the reason for that is because if you're concentrating and focusing on that, then you're letting some of the other things that are troubling you and helping you to really, defeat stress, at least giving it a break for a short period of time.
And that's so true. Well, hold on 1 second. So what we're going to do is go for a little break right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And when we come back, we're going to go deeply into the five living principles and what they mean in today's personal and corporate culture, because they are excellent for people to focus on to move towards being in charge of a better life. So we will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
On this edition of The Natural Medicine Chest, we'll discuss the folklore, history, chemistry, and medicinal applications of the common kitchen herb, thyme.
The common culinary spice known botanically as Thymus vulgaris is only one member of a large genera which includes over 400 species and even more varieties. The Thymus genera is originally native to the Mediterranean region and is a perennial plant which grows wild in usually dry, sandy soil, green heaths, and grasslands. Thyme is a prolific, fragrant, creeping ground cover and often displays an attractive spray of flowering branchlets spanning the spectrum from white to violet.
There is considerable debate amongst historians as to the origin of the name thyme. Some believe it to be from the Greek thymen, meaning to fumigate or to burn a sacrifice, because it was used as a sweet-smelling incense and also to keep pests and venomous creatures away from the Greek home. Others believe it came from the Greek thumos, meaning courage or energy, perhaps because it has a reputation of being used by Greek warriors for courage and was bathed in and used as a beverage for invigoration. The Egyptians used an herb called tham, which we believe is Thymus vulgaris, to mummify their dead. The principal chemical constituents of thyme are the volatile oils consisting of phenol, thymol, and carvacrol. A 1977 article in the scientific journal Chemical Abstracts revealed that thymol's antimicrobial activity is 18 times more powerful than phenol. Phenol is a major antiseptic used in commercial germicidal cleaners like Lysol. Thymol is one of the most potent antimicrobial substances known and far surpasses even the strongest antibiotics. It has been illustrated in the Journal of Chemistry and in the Merck Index of Drugs and Chemicals to Destroy Parasites, Worms, Fungi, Bacteria, Mosquito Larvae, and many viruses.
The pharmaceutical and cosmetic industry is privy to the important medicinal effects of oil of thymus vulgaris. It is ubiquitously found in gargles, cough drops, vapor rubs, and many mouthwashes. Oil of thyme is to be used, albeit very sparingly because of its potency, as a gargle or mouthwash for sore throats and inflamed gums. Because the volatile oil is expelled via the lungs and kidneys, naturopathic physicians use it for upper respiratory infections and urinary tract infections. If you're in the midst of a cold and are lying in bed with too much thyme on your hands, try making a thyme tea made with just a few teaspoons of thyme to a cup of boiling water. It's an excellent diaphoretic because it causes the body to perspire profusely. Thyme also possesses an excellent carminative and antispasmodic effect, helping in poor digestion, flatulence, and intestinal gripe.
So, listeners, if you're feeling ill, thyme heals all wounds. Remember to reach for that thyme in a bottle the next time you open up the natural medicine chest.
And welcome back to
Thank you.
Natural Alternatives. And let me allow us to reintroduce our guest for today, and that is Shay Vaughn. And Shay is discussing the living principles of well-being, commitment, perseverance, self-control, integrity, and love. And a great place to find Shay is at Shaynetics, that's Shaynetics, Shaynetics.com, or HealthyInitiative.org, which is also a charity that she runs. And we're looking at Shay's book. It's Shay Vaughn's Breakthrough, The Five Living Principles to Defeat Stress, Look Great, and Find Total Well-Being. And everything she's going to discuss with us today is you can find in the book, and it is also a workbook, so it makes it easy to incorporate these five living principles into your life. So let's talk about them, Shay.
Well, you know, commitment really is really making a promise. You know, it's to yourself. Most New Year's resolutions are, you know, forgotten after 3 weeks. And over 85% of New Year's resolutions have to do with diet or taking off weight. So we know what an epidemic that we have as far as our nation is concerned. We have now children dying before their time, before their parents, and I cannot think of anything that would be more heartfelt than losing a child. And I think that, you know, commitment needs to be, you know, I have to say, who's buying the food? What's in the shopping cart? And commitment really has to be something that if we're serious about really wanting it to make a difference and not have to go to taking, you know, all kinds of medicines, which, you know, are going to help us for a while, but it's not going to solve the problem. It's like putting a Band-Aid on. So commitment is really about signing a contract with yourself. And many times what I tell people to do is to take just little pieces of paper and just write down what that, you know, what that goal is that you're, you know, looking to change. And just, you know, sign your name and just put those posties all over so that it can remind you that you've made this commitment. And the other thing I will say to you is that we know that if a commitment is, there's going to be some bumps in the road, that it's going to get difficult. Otherwise, we'd have it done. And so that's really where perseverance comes in. Perseverance is like a pyramid. And you want to, you know, you're stepping on it one solid step at a time until you actually get to the top. And this is really where people falter because it does get difficult. But, you know, what we have to really say to ourselves is that this is not an option to just give up and walk away from it. This is about our health. This is about our well-being. This is about the children that we care about and a nation that really, you know, needs role models and needs help. And so
I love in your book, when I'm looking at, let's say, the section on commitment, and it seems like you have this in many sections on the book, you have little insignias. And on the section of commitment, you have a commitment sign, like you were talking about the post-it.
It's a scroll.
And then you have oriental figures all throughout the book. What are those about, the Asian
orientals
writing?
are the names for commitment. It's an oriental because it's really about bringing that Eastern philosophy into our Western lifestyle. So the oriental Chinese numbers that you see is really their written words as far as what commitment is in English.
Because you have those throughout the book, so it must be something that you enjoy learning about or that you found inspirational at some point.
I do, and I think that it's inspirational because, you know, in all cultures, there are great things that they practice that using a blend of bringing some of that into our own lives and into our own culture can be very empowering and can really help us to transition into the lives that we want.
Then in each section, such as commitment, you have specific things like mind boost focuses, such as setting a realistic goal, which is very important because if people are a size 24 and their goal is to be a size 4, you know, they're setting themselves up for failure.
Well, they are, but there's many times when somebody is, you know, 200 pounds overweight, and they do have to take that off. And it doesn't mean that they need to be, you know, a size 4, but it does make a difference on the fact that they're inside that, for their height and their weight and their age, that they're inside that healthy, you know, area, so that, you know, they're not kidding themselves that at 200 pounds or 300 pounds, that taking off 100 pounds, that's a lot. It's going to make a huge difference in their lives, but it's not going to be where they need to be. And so setting a realistic, you know, goal really depends upon, you know, are you overweight? Are you obese? Because it only takes 30 pounds to actually be obese and be at risk as far as, you know, heart disease is concerned, type 2 diabetes is concerned, all of these diseases, which are absolutely preventable.
And when you say that, remember, each day is a new opportunity to make lasting changes, because if people start on something and they, you know, fall off the wagon for whatever reason, they go to a wedding, I mean, it seems like there's endless opportunities for going away from the commitment that they can start over.
And you're right, because part of what happens is that people don't stick to it. It gets tough and they do, you know, kind of quit. It's okay to come off, you know, to fall off the track. We're not perfect people. And so, you know, that's going to happen. But the thing of it is we can't stay there and beat ourselves up and say that we failed and give ourselves permission that it's okay to continue to do that. And that's why the next principle, which is self-control, where we're always trying to find balance in our life to bring some kind of, you know, peacefulness with it. But the truth of the matter, and it's actually the symbol that you're looking at, is a crane standing on one foot. And finding that balance, being able to hold themselves up and balance on one foot. But what it really is talking about is that in finding that balance, it's not something that somebody hands you by giving you a pill, or there's not, you know, there's not something out there that you can just, you know, think about or read about. It's taking responsibility for the things that we want, because there's no way to get it any other way, that we need to give this to ourselves. Self-care is one of the most talked about things moving forward in this next decade. And that is about taking care of ourselves and not depending upon doctors always to give us the right formula, because we usually end up going to them, and it's about medication. And many times it's, you know, medications that end up being something that we're on for the rest of our lives. when there are great herbs in other ways, and just, you know, doing things for ourselves that will help us, you know, through the issues that we really
have.
You also
give, even for each section like this one, a delicious Shea's Healthy Energy Smoothie recipe.
That's at the end. Yeah.
I love that recipe. Why don't you share that with our listeners?
Well, the recipe, the simple one, is really easy because, and it's really, the balance is about having 70% of it being vegetables, and the other 30% is fruits. So that's what the balance that you want to think about. And you can, I'm going to give you the one that I like the best, but there's certainly options that you can use, and they're actually listed in the book too. So I usually take a full apple and a pear and cut it up, and you want to put it into a blender with at least 8 ounces of water and about 8 ounces, I put crushed ice in it too. And then I blend those two things together first. And you're going to keep adding water to this because you don't want this to be really thick, thick. You want it to be nice and smooth, so you want to blend it long enough. And then I add kale to it, spinach to it. I add cucumber to it, and celery to it. So those are the basic things. You can add cilantro to it. You can add bananas to it. You can add berries to it. It really depends on what your palate is all about. And you also put a full lemon in it. So you just take the lemon, peel off the rind, and then cut it in half. Don't worry about anything else, and then put that whole lemon in there. And the lemon is so good because it actually helps you, you know, cleanse out your liver, because everything is processed through our liver. So we want to help that. And even drinking on warm water or just water with lemon on it throughout the day is just one of the best detox and benefits that you can give your body, just, you know, to help you to be healthy.
And all that is actually in the section on making that commitment. And then you go on to the next section, which talks about perseverance. And that's
right,
because this is going to be a long-term lifestyle.
Right, and we touched on that. It's really about, you see the symbol there, and that symbol is a pyramid, and we're talking about taking one solid step at a time. And we may pause, we may even come off of it, but dust ourselves off as quickly as we possibly can and get back on track. And it's really about persevering through the things so that we can actually visualize and see what the end result is, because that's what our goal is, and just not giving up on ourselves, not giving up on what our dreams are or what our commitment is, and really taking it serious.
And I love the little letter right there as well. You have a pyramid, and then you have beautiful Asian writing that really focuses on what perseverance is about. And then you have in each section a bunch of specific exercises that someone can do, and they're very nicely modeled so that it's easy just to follow.
Exactly. It takes them through, you know, the beginning all the way back, and you end up where you started from. And each one is actually designed specifically for each one of the principles. So it's kind of like maybe you'll find one that you really resonates with you. And you can just take that. And every morning when you get up, just, you know, do that a couple of times, and it will just open up your heart and your mind and help you to feel relaxed and get up in the mornings and just feel, you know, good about yourself. And I often say that when we get up, we need to start talking to ourselves right away and really putting positive thoughts in our head and in our hearts and in our mind, because as soon as we turn on the TV or we talk to someone else, all the negativity is going to come out, and we need to be stronger so that we can kind of like let that go past.
Can always leave the TV off. That's what I do.
I do.
Yeah,
but a lot of people don't.
Now, you have another great recipe here, which is something I use all the time, which is, instead of using a wheat sandwich or roll or bagel or anything like that, you have a lettuce wrap recipe.
Yeah, that's a really, you know, salads are really the heart, at the heart of what we really need as far as good nutrition, taking, you know, that in. And it should actually, people should really think about it as a plant-based, you know, diet. And that the salad is really like the main course. That's really what you're going to, you know, focus on. And if you sprinkle just some nuts on with it, it actually helps you to absorb the benefits and the nutrition better inside your body than if you don't eat. So many times people like to eat nuts by themselves, and that's fine, even though they are high in fat. It's all good fat. But actually putting them on your salad and eating it together helps the absorption ratio.
And I love the way you talk about having a lettuce wrap, using the lettuce leaf instead of bread, and actually putting not only other vegetables but some kind of protein, and in this case it's hummus, which is really a ground-up garbanzo bean, which is
exactly
very high in protein,
right,
in the lettuce, and then you roll it up, and that you can take with you like people would normally take a sandwich. So you do have like a little snack on
you
the run.
You do. And there are lettuces that you can take a look at because there's so many of them that have like larger leaves. So you want to find something that has a larger leaf on it, and you just, you know, spread the hummus on there, and you can cut cucumbers up on that. You can put alfalfa on that. You can put tomatoes and all kind of green peppers, and then you just, you know, a little bit of salt and pepper, and roll it up and take it, and it's delicious and it's filling.
So I always call that having your ammunition ready, because if people have ammunition to do these kinds of perseverance, commitment, and like we're going to talk about when we come back from our next little break, which is self-control, then we make progress. And it becomes really fun, and not that you're fighting with yourself. It's what you want to do, which having the ammunition, like if you're out on the run and you don't have a lettuce wrap with you, then you might run in and get a bagel or pizza. But if you have that lettuce wrap in your backpack or even in your purse, wrapped nicely in a bag, you can pull that out anywhere, and then you are not starving. You keep your blood sugar right on course, and you don't run in for that junk food snack.
That's right, and you don't grab for that bag of potato chips and all the junk food that is just, you know, killing us.
Well, we're going to go again to another little break where you'll hear about some of the other fabulous shows that you can listen to anytime right here on Progressive Radio Network. And when we come back, we will continue our discussion with author and fitness expert Shay Vaughn about the 5 living principles to defeat stress, look great, and find total well-being. We'll be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And thank you so much for joining us once again right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And you can always find us at naturalnurse.com on the web or at Facebook, The Natural Nurse. So today's guest is Shay Vaughn, and we're talking about her new book, Breakthrough, The 5 Living Principles to Defeat Stress, Look Great, and Find Total Well-Being. And Shay has been sharing with us a lot of information. She is the founder of Shaynetics, which is a comprehensive program that puts together all the things you need to do to move towards your own state of optimum wellness through the 5 living principles. Now, Shay, let's talk a little bit about where Shaynetics can play in the context of business model.
Well, Shaynetics, it's really what you're talking about is really the business model, which is the culture of what that business is, and our own personal culture. And what's really important is that whatever culture it is, you live that culture, whether it's in business or out of business. So we want to be able to blend our personal culture with our business culture. And what that really means is that what are the habits? What do we, you know, what do we do when we get up in the morning, and what does that, you know, what does our culture look like? Is it one of negativity? Is it, are we, you know, positive about most things? Do we complain about most things? You know, what does that really look like?
So you're talking about your internal dialogue with yourself.
Yeah,
pay attention to it.
Absolutely. And I'm talking about just, you know, business in general. You know, there's many corporations out there, for instance, that have a great culture where you want to be there. And then there's other corporations where people are sitting and saying, you know, it's kind of like it's a culture of my way or the highway. And so there's lots of employees that are sitting there saying, I really don't get to use my, you know, my creativity. They really don't care about me. And the only reason that they're still there is because they don't have another job to go to yet. So,
well,
culture,
which is certainly very big, because a lot of people have no job to go to.
Exactly. Absolutely. So blending our personal culture and habits and likes and dislikes and all of those things together, and with a company that does allow us in the majority of cases to be creative and share both the things that are necessary to live a happy life, because so many of us spend as much time, if not more time, working than we do at home on our personal, you know, time.
Well, sure, of course. I would say that's the state with really a majority of people.
Absolutely.
But they work one job, but then they say, now, especially with the computer, then you go home and you still have more work.
You do. That's exactly what's happening. And what's that saying is that we're really not, you know, are we taking time for ourselves? We feel like we can't afford to do that. But the truth of the matter is that we can't afford not to do that.
Well, someone does need to have a goal, which I really love your discussion about in Breakthrough, because many people do not even have a concept of what they would like to do if they had their own time.
I think that you're right on that, but I also think that sometimes we just don't sit down and really think about those things. It's kind of like we get up and every day looks the same. And we really need to kind of like take a step backwards and say, what is it that I really want out of life? Because so many women by menopause are just hitting brick walls, looking in the mirrors and saying, what have I, you know, where did this time go? And, you know, what choices have I made? And we've
That's
got a
true.
Lot of people that are really, you know, really not happy. Not happy with themselves, not happy with, you know, their decisions. And, you know, that we were going to talk about self-control, and that's a great thing to bring in, because it's really, you know, about it represents the balance and the grace that we can attain in life when you really have found a way to control your emotions, because this is all many times emotionally and mentally strength oriented or driven. And self-control really says what kinds, you know, I often ask many people, how many CEOs do we have out there? And everybody kind of sits there and a few people raise their hand. And the truth of the matter is, if I ask it again, they kind of get it. And I go, okay, now everybody raise your hand. Because the truth of the matter is that we are all CEOs of our mind, our body, and our heart. And I say heart, not because I don't mean spirit, because I say it because the first cell that is formed when we are conceived is our heart cell. So everything comes back, begins with it, and comes back to that. It's the little girl or the little boy that's inside of us. It's the spiritual, you know, side of how we think and how we practice. It's all of those things.
So what is the vision of Shaynetics going forward?
Well, the vision of Shaynetics moving forward is really doing more with Healthy Initiative. And Healthy Initiative is the balance within my life about being able to touch as many hearts and really help people through what's called a 90-day breakthrough program that we took 40 different people in Chicago that had really tried every kind of diet and lifestyle that they possibly could on medications, really kind of at the, you know, wit ends, and really felt like enough was enough. Who's going to give me a program that's going to, or help me with a program that's going to help me to be healthy and to get rid of this weight and be able to maintain it and sustain it more than anything else? So we took 40 different participants. We put them on the 90-day breakthrough program. And I'll tell you, the smoothies were one of the biggest things that we asked them to do every single day. And doing it as a detox and doing it for several days at a time so that you can lose the cravings for all the junk and become peaceful within yourself. You do miss kind of chewing, but you get past all of that because you have more energy. You're thinking different. You're not just grabbing for food that you shouldn't, you know, have. And so it's really a transformation with yourself, but it's really all about paying it forward. The greatest gift that we have is to actually service others. And when we do that, we make a difference not only within our own lives, but also in the lives of the people that we love that are around us and the people that are even strangers to us that want to know what we did that was different that they would like to be, you know, a part of.
So you started healthyinitiative.org to help people have a specific way to go about taking control of their life.
Well, it is. It's actually about championing disease prevention, which is obesity, type 2 diabetes, cancer, and heart disease. And people don't realize that obesity, like, for instance, even with breast cancer, after menopause, almost 70% of the women that end up with breast cancer is actually caused from obesity. So they're all interconnected. It's
New York, in the news today, they had a report saying that death from diabetes has escalated tremendously here in New York. And, of course, that is completely linked to incorrect eating. There's nothing else that causes it except for the very small, like 1 to 2% of people that have a genetic defect and have type 1 diabetes. Everyone else causes their own, basically, by making wrong choices.
Preventative diseases, that's right, and that's what Healthy Initiative is all about, because we need to really turn this epidemic around. We really need solutions and answers that are going to be sustainable, but we can't, you know, it's like leading a horse to water. It's like, where does the wake-up call really come in? Because, it's an addiction. What people don't realize is that food is an addiction. And one of the reasons that they take this food and put it past their lips is because even though they know it's not good for them, it is so satisfying and so rewarding to them in other ways that they just continue to do that. Now, think about that. Is that any different than somebody who is smoking or somebody who is addicted to any kind of drugs? And I've many times had conversations with people that say, well, I don't think it's that extreme. And the truth of the matter is we've got close to 70% of our adult population on a national basis that is either overweight or obese, and it's growing. We have over 33% of our children. And, you know, I get calls all the time from people that are saying, oh, my God, I don't know what to do about, you know, I had one the other day, a gal that her first year in college, and she was suicidal. She weighs 400 pounds. And her mother was absolutely frantic about how to get her, you know, help. And I'm, you know, calmly talking with her on the telephone, and I said to her, I said, have you ever had a struggle, you know, with weight yourself? And she said, yes, I weigh over 300 pounds. You know, where do we get to the real part of this about, I'm going to say it again, who's buying the food?
Right.
Or how many times do we just give, you know, in because we think that we're, you know, we just, you know, we're so overwhelmed with our own lives that we give them to eat whatever they want to, whether it's healthy or not. But, you know, it all happens in that shopping cart. What are we putting in there?
Yes, and in terms of being a parent, of course, a lot of the things that are called genetically related in terms of, let's say, obesity is really that you're following in the incorrect eating patterns, not that there's actually a genetic reason.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, I want to get through integrity and love before we have to,
good.
You know.
We are getting to the end, so go
ahead.
Yeah,
we are getting to the end. And integrity is really, it's the symbol is a shield because we honor and we believe in and we protect and guard those things that we love. The biggest thing about integrity is so many times people are honest with other people, but not necessarily honest with themselves. And being honest with yourself, if you do have a goal, and it happens to be weight loss or whatever it happens to be, you need to check in with yourself and ask yourself, how hard am I trying? Because if you're only giving it 30%, guess what your success ratio is going to be? It's going to take 100% and continuing with that to really get to where you want to be. Love is universal. Love is about, I can remember walking around myself saying, you know I should love myself, but it was difficult. But one of the things that I learned was that the better decisions that I made, the better examples that I set, that I started to build, you know, love for myself because I was happy that I was making harder decisions, harder choices, but the right ones. And I want to tell you about Scott, a gentleman in my class, and here's how you put these five principles together. Scott was in my class. We always talk about the principles before we actually do our Shane Addicts, and he raised his hand, and here's what he said. Last week, I was fired. Friday was my last day. I was working on a project. I probably didn't even have to show up. He said, but I did. He said, but my first knee-jerk reaction was, hey, I'm just going to pick up my things and get out of here because nobody cares. And yet he could hear my voice in his ear saying commitment, perseverance, self-control, integrity, and love. He made the decision that he finished the project. It actually took him longer than what he thought it was going to take. And he said, here's what I actually found. He said, I found that I was committed to do the right thing. I persevered through it when it was really difficult. Self-control is being honest, you know, is taking responsibility, and he took the responsibility that he was doing it for himself and that probably nobody else would even, you know it. He was honest with himself about why he was doing the project, and he said, I walked out of there with my head high, with love in my heart, and feeling actually good because I made the right decision. And that these principles within our lives, if we just take the time to apply them to what our decisions are, whether it's changing our lives, taking off weight, you know, working harder at certain things that are important to us, being nicer to the next door neighbor or our friends or whatever that happens to be, bringing that love into your heart and doing and making the right decisions gives you the new beginning that you're looking for and the breakthrough that you need to live the life that you're meant to lead.
Well, that's a beautiful, beautiful roundup of what you share in your lovely book, Shay Vaughn's Breakthrough, The Five Living Principles to Defeat Stress, Look Great, and Find Total Well-Being. So if you're interested in getting a copy, I imagine it's available on Amazon.com.
Mm-hmm.
Or people can visit your website, which is Shaynetics. That's S-H-E-A-N-E-T-I-C-S, Shaynetics.com. And listeners, our shows are always available on the archive here at Progressive Radio Network. So if you think someone would benefit from listening to the show, please tell them to visit PRN.FM or Google Progressive Radio Network, and then go to Archives Natural Nurse, since that's our show. And thank you so much, Vaughn, for being a wonderful guest right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. My pleasure.